There are three words that connect everything together that we have as Christians. From these three words, everything else and all the other words are brought in. The first word is love. Second word is faith. And the third word is hope. Everything in the kingdom of God are connected to these three words. And if we don't allow these words and the meaning of these words to take root in our lives, we are missing the purpose of the kingdom of God. Now, we have all kinds of things that we look at and excuse our actions. But if the world is going to see the picture of the kingdom of God, which is not a palace somewhere, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit, they're going to have to see love and faith and hope. So then we need to understand something. We need to understand that almost every attack of Satan will be involved with love and faith and hope. Right?
Yes, sir.
Also, we get all kinds of excuses why we can't love somebody. And that's never from the Father. It's from the devil or our own emotions. So we may have all the giftings. We may be great orators. We may be people that give all kinds of dollars. We may go through all kinds of things, but nothing, say nothing with me,
nothing
takes the place of love. Nothing takes the place of faith, and nothing will take the place of hope. When you lose hope, you lose your life. When you lose love, you lose relationships. And when you lose faith, the whole thing is centered. And you don't walk in the victory of Jesus Christ. Love the way you're shouting. I feel like that calf looking at a new gate. Are we okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, listen. If you disagree with me, then tear chapter 13 out of your Bible. I'll collect your pages. So, true love, God's love, ties in with 1 Corinthians 13. And we're going to talk about love and hope and faith. But there's a couple verses I want to read to you. In the 13 verse 4 says, love suffers long and is kind. I can't be a meat old man and have love. I can be mean and I can be old, but I can't have love. Love does not envy. Love does not parade. Love is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endure all things. Now listen to this and listen closely. Love never fails. Whether prophecies will cease. When? When we're with Jesus. Please, don't let somebody tell you that the gifts of the Spirit are not moving today, because they are. They're just not moving in some people's lives.
That's correct. Amen.
Right?
That's
correct.
You know, if you don't want anything to do with the baptism in the Holy Spirit, if you don't want anything to do with the gifts, don't worry about it. They're not going to sneak up on you and take you captive. I believe that. Somebody said, well, I'm not going there. They talk in tongues. Don't worry about it. You won't ever have to. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Okay, look at me. If tongues have ceased, if the gifts of Spirit have ceased, if all these other things had ceased, how come knowledge is doubling and tripling all over? If all these things are going to cease, then knowledge is going to vanish away. We okay?
Yes, sir.
Yep. Here's the thing in a life that's sold out to Christ. You never want to eliminate what God has given you. You want more.
That's right.
Amen. You want more. You're not backing away from God. You're not backing away from the gifts of Spirit. You're not moving away from the anointing. You're not moving away from the powerful gifts. You're moving into them. And you may say, well, I came from a different church. I didn't believe that. You're not in that church anymore. It's pretty good for an old guy. You moved.
Yeah.
Amen or oh me. And so what begins to happen is we come back to the main truths of the gospel. Do you understand? No, you don't. Do you understand that you don't have grace without faith? Do you understand that the Holy Spirit wants to give you hope? And do we understand God is what?
Love.
It's not sloppy agape. Okay? You say, what's agape? God's love. We are called to represent the kingdom of God on earth, and we're called to do it the way Christ did. My devotions last couple of days have been in Mark. And there's a part of Mark that just, and I'll show you some of it today, but Jesus is betrayed and denied. Well, he's denied by Peter, right? Remember, when the angel came to Mary and said, "He's not here, he's risen," she said, "Go tell his disciples and Peter that he's resurrected." Look at me. You will never, I better say that. Say never with me.
Never.
Say I
will never
be loved more by God than right now. Can you accept that? Can you accept the fact that God loves you exactly the way you are, regardless what you're thinking and regardless how you're living? He loves to change us, but he loves us. How many of us have spent our lives trying to earn something that's freely given? God doesn't love you because you have talents. God loved you in spite of your talents. Did you get that? Because most of us aren't using our talents. God wants to reach down into our lives and plant that seed of confidence in his love so we are not afraid of anything that comes upon us. What about this body? The Bible tells us in Romans 13:10 that love does no harm to the body. Really? Now we went Sunday after Sunday after Sunday speaking about the body, how we're worked together. It was brought up this morning. You know, 1 Corinthians 13. Read about the body. Can you imagine with me, just for a moment, spending eternity with somebody you despised all your life? Now you got to remember that one sitting next to you probably will be in heaven. Can you handle that? The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3, "Behold the manner of love that God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." It does not yet appear what we will be, but we know when he appears, we will be what? Like him. Philippians chapter 3, it says he's going to fashion this body like unto his glorious body. You're going to be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this mortal will put on immortality, and this corruption will put on incorruption, and we're going to be changed into the image of Christ. You talk about changes coming? What a major change. All our whining's going to quit. Some people are walking out the door right now. It's true. All because that you've never been loved as God loves you. You see, if you want to, you can choose to say, I'm not going to do anything for God the rest of my life. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that. And God said, that's okay. I'll still love you. Because you're not earning it. You're not earning it. And because you're not earning it, there's no price to pay to keep it. Right? And because there's no price, we're free to be free. Now abides these three: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. What about faith? The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You need to look at that verse and see what he's saying. Because right away we think grace. Where'd the grace come from? The grace came to you through the faith that God put in your being. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, chapter 8, that God has given to every person a measure of faith. Look at me. This gets big. There's not a single person on this earth that can look at God and say, I do not have enough faith to accept you. I do not have enough faith to believe in you. I do not have enough belay faith to walk this out. Because God's looking at you and saying, quit listening to the devil and start walking it out, because I've given you the faith.
That's right, amen.
Friends, we have no excuses.
It's a true story.
We have no excuses not to take Romans 10, 9, and 10, take Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and walk it out in the name of Jesus. If we believe in our heart and confess in our mouth the Lord Jesus, thou wilt be saved. For with the heart belief is made unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. True. True. We can never, ever, ever look at God and say, you failed me because you didn't give me everything I needed. God is saying, forget it. There's nothing more I could give you. Praise God. Romans chapter 5, please. How many of you are still bothered by past sins? How many of you are still bothered by past failures? How many of you are bothered by anything? Have you ever heard somebody say, I know God loves me, but I'm not sure he likes me? Really? Who was the woman that had Ishmael? Hagar. If I would have been God, I would let her die. Remember, she left out in the wilderness looking for water, and God opened the door for her to get it. And you say, what are you talking about? Can you imagine what the world would have been like if there was no Hagar and Ishmael? You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the Middle East. It's true. I'm talking about the fact that a lot of wars and a lot of things could have been stopped if she would not have survived. But that wasn't God's heart, because God's heart loved her. I was sitting in Estes Park. And just having breakfast one morning. And all around us there was camped a bunch of Jewish people. Some teenagers, 17, 18. So I'm sitting there reading my Bible and drinking my coffee and just being, you know, just being me, doing nothing, saying nothing naughty. Just... What's he laughing at? I didn't know the discussion I was going to get in. I'm reading, and all of a sudden, a group of gals come in. Can we sit with you? Well, I've never had that happen before. No girls wanted to sit with me. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm talking, and all of a sudden, they start talking. And there was something going on between the Jews and the Arabs and the U.S. and Russia and some other countries. And they're sitting there talking to me and saying, we hate the Arabs. You know, we despise them. And I said, well, that's kind of interesting. And what do you mean? I said, they're your relatives. And she looked at me, what do you mean? I said, well, you and Ishmael had the same father. Close. Then they started thinking. I said, don't you understand what's going on here? You know, I was even pretty proud of myself because I couldn't think of that by myself. I said, don't you realize what this is? And they said, no, what is it? I said, you're having a family squabble. The only difference between this family squabble, and I should have thought of this, but I didn't, and the Hatfields and McCoys, is that you want to kill your relatives. And they want to kill you. You know, I thought they were going to leave, but they didn't. They wanted to talk. Even if someone's not a Christian, or someone don't understand Christ, they're human beings. And we come to a place of reaching out to them, trying to tell them the truth. Look at Romans 5:1. I think I told you to turn there, didn't I? Therefore, having been, say having been,
having been,
justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, having been justified, it doesn't say we're being justified. That word justified means that you were declared righteous. So having been justified by faith, having been declared righteous, we have peace with God. There's no enmity between God and people anymore. We have peace. Justified by faith. It's really very interesting. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. You don't have to turn there, but sometime this week read it, because it talks about being reconciled. And he has given us a ministry of reconciliation. And so we have so much going on here. We have the love. We have faith. The last one we have is hope. We have hope. Romans chapter 13. It's 15:13, excuse me. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at me. The word hope means confident expectation. Now, a lot of people have confident expectation that everything's going to fall apart. Right? Yes. And they're going to be disappointed if they don't have that rainy day. Because they got all that money saved up for a rainy day. Romans 15:4, and then I'll come back to 13. For whatever things were written before are written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We are not living in a time where you need to dust off your Bible before you start reading it. You say, what are you talking about? That Bible needs to be dusted off and in your hands every day.
Yes. Amen.
You want to walk in peace. You want to walk in perseverance. You want to walk in hope. You're going to be in the Word of God. The Word is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. Through the Word of God, you're going to have perseverance. We will not allow the small things of life to sidetrack us. Okay. I know I got in trouble. So you're going to look at me and say, well, what are the small things of life? Anything that's tormenting you without reason and without spiritual effect is small. It's not worth paying attention to. Anything that you can't change is small. You say, well, what am I supposed to change? Attitude? And anything that you're allowing to attack your faith is small.
That's true.
And you may say, well, I thought those were all big things. Big to who? Big to who? I understand we have bad days. I never have a bad day. I just have some that are better than others. Go back to 15:13. How many of you feel that you're part of the kingdom of God? Are you guessing or are you hoping? Do we know that? Okay. So may the God of peace, may the God, I'm sorry, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you, that I, may abide in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's time for you, for me, for everyone to lay aside our hopeless days, live in the Holy Spirit, and walk in the positive attitude of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, I can't do it. Of course you can't. Quit trying. Let God do it. We'll never be overcome by trying to do God's work in our lives.
That's true.
But I will guarantee you this. When you take the time to come to God and just let him know that you want to be an overcomer. You choose to be a victor. You're not a victim. And you just rest in His presence. You will see the victory that you're looking for. How do I know? Because I'm going through it. I was telling Kirk a while back, I said, I've never had fear before like I had after I had my heart thing. I had to deal with that. Afraid now? No. But I went through a period of absolute fear. I've never had heart trouble. I've never had that stuff before. So all of a sudden you get hit with it and it's a different ballgame. So what do? If I live or die, I'm okay. Okay? I want to live. Just like you do. And there's a will to live. But there's also a life in Christ that I want to live for. Faith, hope, and love. Live in them, walk in them. Do you realize there's no weapons that can prosper against faith, hope, and love? We walk in that victory. Praise God.